Hey, this is Rob Kierenke. I am back after a mild hiatus here with California Battleground. I thought that with the Newsom recall in full swing, that it would be a good time to sit and talk about that recall election and what is likely to happen. I have been talking for some time and I've been tweeting and so forth that I did not think this was going to be a particularly close election. I've seen not a lot to really disabuse me of that notion. And, you know, so why do I think Newsom will prevail and handily so, most likely, or why ought this race not to be close, I guess, to hedge a little bit? You know, I think what we should do is just sit down and do the math. A little bit, because the math for Republicans in California, you know, if you want to buy into the sort of framing of the recalls, the Republican recall or so forth, you know, why is the math really just so difficult for them? We've been seeing all of these polls that have been coming out saying that this is a really close election. And 538 has been writing about that and, you know, doing their polling averaging. And I think some, not all polls are created equal. Some are a lot better than others. I don't actually disagree with a lot of, you know, kind of the crosstabs within some of those polls. But what I think is extremely difficult is to know, you know, who is actually going to turn out, how to weight those polls, how to really account for this Republican enthusiasm gap that people have been talking about. The Republicans are so jacked up and fired up to get rid of Newsom, and that even, you know, they think a lot of Democrats are going to kind of turn on him. And I think that those are really the two operative questions. There's the two questions of the recall. Should Newsom be recalled? And if so, who ought to replace him? You know, I have two different questions. I'm really only focused on that question one. You know, is the governor going to be recalled? Can you get to 50% plus one on the recall question? And to answer that, you have to know who's going to vote, what the turnout will be, and importantly, by party, is there an enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats such that Republicans can overcome their registration advantage? And then, you know, as a function of that too, like, what is the break among, you know, certainly the partisan voters? Is there going to be a lot of defections from Democrats who are actually going to say, yeah, I want to get rid of Newsom, even if it means a Republican governor? And to a lesser degree, I think, you know, what is the split with independent voters? So I want to start out with a little bit about where this recall emanated from in the state, because a large number of the signatures gathered came from inland and rural counties and in Northern California counties. Recall proponents will make a lot of, they got, you know, the most valid signatures out of LA County. You know, they got 250,000 signatures there and, you know, bully for them. But, you know, there's 6 million voters in LA County. It's not a significant percentage. It's not even a real large percentage of Republicans in the county. The places that are really fired up about this recall are predominantly Northern California counties, you know, your Tehama County, your Siskiyou County, your Shasta County. The county in the state that had the largest number of its voters sign the recall was actually Amador County, you know, and its few thousand voters. I mean, fundamentally, there are more registered voters in Sacramento than there are in all of those surrounding Northern California counties, you know, pretty much from there up to the border. It is not a place that is able to exercise a lot of influence on statewide politics. Indeed, that's why a lot of those counties want to secede and create the 51st state of Jefferson. And, you know, it's represented by two Congress members, basically, you know, out of the 50 odd members of our delegation. So you do have a lot of enthusiasm there, but, you know, can they sneak up on the Democratic electorate and essentially catch Democrats snoozing and snatch their first statewide victory in 15 years since Schwarzenegger won re-election and Steve Poizner won insurance commissioner way back in 2006? Well, I think one of the first things I really want to talk about the fact is there already is an enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats in basically every single election. The Republican electorate, though it has shrunk in California over the last few decades, is a more reliable electorate than are Democrats. They are higher propensity voters. If Democrats turn out in a big election, you know, 2016, most important election of our lifetime, 2020, where you're getting into the, you know, high 70s turnout across the board. If Democrats turn out at 75%, Republicans are going to turn out at probably maybe 79%, a few points higher than them. Republicans already outperformed Democrats at the ballot. It is nowhere near enough to make a difference. In the 2014 election, where turnout kind of fell out the bottom in California, it was Jerry Brown's reelect. Not a lot of really exciting things to get people to the polls as a midterm election. You had only 43% Democratic turnout. Republicans turned out at 51%. And Neel Kashkari, the challenger to Jerry Brown on the statewide ballot, lost by 20 points in that election. All these numbers are from PDI, California 120. So, you know, full credit to them for this research over the last 10 years. But, you know, what the takeaway is that Republicans already outperform Democrats at the ballot, and they get crushed anyway. The other really important thing to know is that independent voters, because I think there's really interesting questions about what their split will be in this recall election, are not really high performing voters. If Democrats are voting at 73%, you know, that's going to be 10 plus points higher than the independent turnout. So even if you get a really positive break among independents, they're going to be a smaller slice of the pie. And so what is the size of that pie of voters? Well, there are twice as many Democrats as there are Republicans registered in California. That number has been, or that gap rather, has been growing, really because Republicans have been losing share to independent voters over the last decade plus, and there are actually more independent and third-party voters than there are Republicans in total. And if you put all of the Republicans and all of the independent voters together, you would sort of barely edge out the Democratic electorate. And this is really a fundamental difference from 20 years ago when Schwarzenegger won in the 2003 recall. At that time, the spread between Republicans and Democrats was only about nine percentage points, which was tall, but Republicans would still be competitive, you know, certainly down ballot in some of the lesser known statewide offices. Even in the race for governor, Republicans could still compete. Today, that spread is more like 22 or 23 points. We are in a much more Democratic state than we were even 5 years ago. You know, the Trump era has really just sort of accelerated that gap and cost Republicans substantially in terms of their overall share of the electorate. So you start to think back on, you know, what is this turnout going to look like? You can start to see that you need a Republican turnout that is, you know, on par with the best they would do in a general election environment in the high 70s, 80% turnout. And you need to see the Democratic share collapse, basically. And we'll walk through some of those scenarios. Independents also, I want to make a point, they lean Democrat in California on the natural. There are about half of the people that are registered as independents that are actually, you know, basically Democrats. And the number of Republican leaners are really only a little bit better than a third. You really only have about one in six independent voters who truly perform, you know, in an independent way, who are genuinely up for grabs. And if you think back, you know, to a moment ago, these are also not really reliable voters, particularly in a really partisanized race as this recall has shaped up to be. It's not the kind of place where a lot of independents are going to be inclined to engage. You can make an argument that there's a lot of, you know, independents who are small business owners and people who are upset about the handling of the pandemic or more passive moderate type voters. And that may be true. But I think by and large, these folks are not, you know, they're not political animals. It's tough to get, you know, it's tough to get two thirds of them to show up when, you know, it's Trump versus Biden or Trump versus Hillary, you know, in these enormous national elections. The notion that they're going to turn out in large numbers in the recall, you know, you're going to have to show me that happening. So that really brings us to the second question is, you know, how many Democrats are actually going to vote against this, against Newsom, who are going to show up to vote in the recall, return their ballot, and say, yes, I want rid of Newsom, you know, knowing basically full well that that's going to mean a Republican and likely, you know, if current polling is to believe Larry Elder, a conservative radio host. Well, You know, I think it's really hard to argue that you're going to see one out of four, one even one out of five Democrats, you know, behave in that way, particularly in the hyper-partisan era that we've had coming off, you know, this, you know, election 9 months ago. There's been, you know, the Capitol insurrection riot, however you want to characterize it. You've got COVID, which I think does do some interesting things to the Democratic electorate, particularly around schooling and the economy and others. But, you know, ultimately, who are Democrats really blaming for a lot of the, you know, lingering issues around COVID? You know, I don't really buy that it's Gavin Newsom. I think it is much more likely to be, you know, the Republican base who is vaccine resistant and, you know, against masks and so forth. And, you know, of which basically all of the Republican frontrunners kind of embrace that ideology. So if you think about the CBS poll that came out, they pegged it at about 15%. That's, you know, more or less, I think, you know, the math that I've been doing, about one out of six. And I think that might be generous. So let's say one out of six Democrats actually vote to recall Newsom. And let's say Republicans, I think it's difficult to get 100% of anybody, especially Republicans these days, to agree on anything. Polling has suggested that at least 9 out of 10 of them are inclined to recall the governor. I think that that's probably about right. I think it's tough to give 100, but let's say you get 90% of Republicans, you know, disciplined voting to recall the governor. And then let's say you split independents, which again, I think is generous. We've already kind of talked about the ways independents might behave and, you know, how they turn out. And that's really where I think the, you know, these numbers start to really become really profound, because they are not equal, Republican, Democrat, and independents. They are, in fact, you know, much more weighted towards Democrats. And so, you know, when you think about, like, even if the Democratic base doesn't show up in really large numbers, there's still going to be much more of them than there are going to be Republicans, and probably, you know, as many of them as Republicans and independents combined, if not more so. So let's do the math on this California recall. Let's take the voter registration, put it together with recent California political history, and then voters' track record, so, you know, reality, and see if we can concoct a path to victory for this recall initiative. So there are 10.2 million Democrats registered in the state of California, 5.3 million Republicans, about 6.5 million independent voters, either no party preference or third party folks. And so let's say Republicans are like jacked about this and they turn out at 80%, which is higher than they would get probably in a November presidential primary, presidential general election, you know, in line with the highest they've been over the last 10 years. And let's say that independents turn out at 50%, which is probably a little bit generous for them in an election like this. And let's say that the Democratic turnout also falls to 50%. So this is like where they would be, you know, maybe in a presidential primary, maybe even a little bit lower. That is a 30-point spread between R's and D's. It's four times the largest advantage Republicans have had in the last 10 years, you know, certainly in modern California political history. And then let's apply our assumptions about how we think these voters will vote. Let's say that 90% of Republicans are going to vote in favor of the recall. I think it's difficult to get 100% of anybody to agree on anything. Let's give them 90%. And let's say that you split independents, which again, based on, you know, kind of who independents are in California, is maybe a little bit generous, but, you know, we'll give them a split. And then let's say that you get 15% of Democrats to defect, one in six. And this is in line with, you know, some of the polling that we've seen, some of the more reputable polling. In that scenario, the recall would still lose. It would lose, you know, narrowly 51-49. But again, with a historic advantage for Republicans in terms of the turnout, and I think pretty generous breaks in terms of how these voters actually vote. You could see how steep and large the mountain is for Republicans to climb in California. And it's why I think this sort of enthusiasm discussion is in large part really kind of nonsense. You see polling say like, oh, well, like 80% of Trump voters are really excited to vote in the recall, but only 60% of Biden voters are really excited. Well, you know, I don't think that's a particularly good measure, but even if you granted that to the recall would still lose by double digits. I mean, Trump lost by 30 points. So his voters being really jacked up, they're so far outnumbered that, you know, it kind of doesn't really matter. You can run this scenario a number of ways. You know, Republicans typically have, you know, anywhere between like a 3 and 8 point advantage over Democrats anyway, in terms of enthusiasm, as we've discussed. So let's take the 2014 election, you know, which is the largest advantage Republicans have had in the last 10 years, 8 points in terms of, you know, their party turnout, and see how that lines up. Again, the most favorable election, low turnout environment, you know, more Republican enthusiasm than Democrats that we've seen in reality in the last 10 years. Apply that to this recall scenario and this recall question, it's likely to lose by 10 points, 55-45. If you take a look at how the average primary turnout goes, where Republicans always have a pretty strong advantage over Democrats. Democrats over the last 10 years have turned out at 37% in primaries, Republicans at 42%, NPP folks only at 23%, which gives you kind of an idea about how engaged they are in lower profile elections. In that scenario, the recall loses by 12 points. So, you know, you can play around with these numbers and you could say like, oh, but the French Laundry or, you know, Newsom's handling of the wildfires or, you know, the schools or whatever is drawing all of these Democrats off of Newsom. You know, I mean, maybe that's what we'll see here. It's why they play the games. And we've got a couple weeks to find out. But I think in this hyper polarized environment, you know, coming off the 2020 elections, everything that's kind of going on, which is, you know, at the national level, which is seeking to reinforce a lot of those partisan trends. I think that, you know, if there, to the degree there's personal animus against Newsom or frustration about some of the state level policies, those are lower profile than our federal issues. But I think to a large degree, they also serve to turn out the Democratic base and reinforce their party discipline as well. So, you know, all of the atmospherics are kind of against the recall, in my opinion. They have an enormous monetary disadvantage from Newsom and the recall antagonists, such that Newsom can spend the better part of $1 million a day down the home stretch just saying vote no. And there's really no breakout star. You know, certainly there's no Arnold Schwarzenegger in this recall. There's barely even a Gary Coleman. I mean, Caitlyn Jenner is playing to like a couple dozen people, you know, in largely empty Pasadena conference rooms. John Cox is traveling the state with a ball of trash and cutting ads with expletives in them. You know, and poor Kevin Falconer is down in the low single digits. You know, it's Larry Elder who seems to be, you know, distancing. He's in a whirlwind of negative news, but seems to be head and shoulders above the field. That's, I think, another unfortunate development if you're for the recall, because Elder's, you know, kind of the perfect foil for Newsom and Democrats who can take his talk radio track record and, you know, all of the hundreds of hours, thousands of hours of recordings of him saying, you know, edgy stuff and weaponize it against him down the home stretch to drive out more Democratic turnout. So, you know, what do I think is likely to happen in this election? I mean, it's everyone's throwing darts, I think, but I will be generous and say that I think Republicans turn out at 65%. I think it's probably high, but let's say 65%. Let's say that independents turn out at 40%, which is, again, maybe a shade high. And let's say the Democrats crack 55%. These are the numbers that I've been kind of toying with, playing around with. That gets you to, you know, basically a 10-point victory for Newsom and the anti-recall forces. It would get you to about 55-45. You know, that's my shot. I'm shooting it. We'll see, you know, in the next couple of weeks. I could be proven wrong. There could be something that, you know, we just don't understand about what's going on in the California electorate. But, you know, I think that, you know, relying on some of this public polling and the quote enthusiasm gap is pretty false. And I think that were Republicans to make this a low single digit race, I think it would be an incredible victory for them. You know, on the one hand, on the other hand, you could say it'd be the most favorable ground you're ever going to see. You still can't get there, but I think making the race close would be, you know, really a substantial victory in a lot of regards. And I don't think it's going to be close.